Welcome to Pop a la Carte. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Angela.
I'm Carrie.
And we are all writers, editors, etc. of with an accent, who is presenting you this podcast.
Yeah. But none of us have accents, just to be clear.
No, we all have accents.
American accents.
We all have different American
there
accents.
There you go.
See, that's...
Yeah, I could bring out my Philly water accent if you want water. Water ice.
Yeah, actually, I was talking with Matt yesterday, and he was like, you should all just put on an accent. And I was like, I can't do one. I'll be, like, trying to do French and then sound like I'm from New Zealand or something.
Every
stupid.
Accent I begin to do winds up being Russian. Along the way, it becomes Russian. I don't know why. I'm not Russian.
Nice. So, With an Accent is a website. We started in, God, I don't actually remember. I think it's 2010 is when we actually launched.
Wow.
And our main goal, which is going to sound completely pretentious, is, which we are actually rewriting because we sound pretentious on the website.
To educate you.
Yes, is to educate people for foreign media. But using genre American media to kind of pull you in and then show you what else is in the world that you're missing. Because there's so much amazing media out there that nobody knows about.
If you like this and pick something big in genre and then...
Yes.
Like, introduce something foreign. Like, that should be a thing that we do. To, like, bridge it.
So thank you, podcast, for teaching us a new way to
move forward. That's what we're going to do. So this podcast is a way for us to discuss, you know, our biggest, like, genre American things that we love, but also we're always going to have a topic that we discuss that's foreign. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, you know, today we're just going to be talking about kind of general stuff and where we got into it and why we love foreign stuff so much. But we will eventually be, you know, find a specific topic that we're like, this is amazing and why aren't you watching it? Or listening or reading. Or flying across the pond to go to a play, because, you know, everybody can do that.
Obviously,
right?
Yeah. That's something that...
That's so easy to do. Or finding the bootleg online, because I'm going to be perfectly honest, I am not above bootlegging.
Right, and that's something
if that's
we can
the only
help
way
you,
you can get...
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Because all these things should be enjoyed by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
With an Accent comes from, you know, basically, when we started the site, I was a big fan of Doctor Who, which... I still am, but I haven't watched in a couple seasons because I have problems with the new current
Traitor.
Iteration. But that's another discussion entirely. And most of the friends that I have are from a Star Wars line that we do at the Chinese Theater. You've probably heard about us and thought we were complete nerds, but we do it for charity and we raise lots of money and we have fun hanging out with our friends on Hollywood Boulevard.
Aww.
And I met my husband and most of my best friends that way. And these people who are obviously into genre, very... Much so, if they're lining up on Hollywood Boulevard for it, had never seen Doctor Who. And my husband is Welsh. He's our co-founder, Matt. And he has introduced me to so much. And because of him, I realize how great, you know, not just British media is, but there's some really great French stuff, great Spanish stuff. Norway is producing some amazing stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's English. Sometimes you have to read subtitles. Sorry, guys. But there's so much amazing media out there that it's so you can get if you just try and look for it. And most people aren't being exposed to it. And if they are, it's only through really crappy American remakes, which we don't. Sometimes they're good.
once in a while. It happens once in a while.
People loved the American version of The Office, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I think I can watch the American version of The Office. I cannot watch the British version
of
The Office. Oh, it's painful.
I've watched the first season of. Or the first series of The British Office.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the secondhand embarrassment is even stronger. So it is hard to get through.
I have a really, really hard time with secondhand embarrassment. Yeah. And that show that's all it is.
Let me just put in a somewhat decent word for the first American remake of Ringu. The Ring with Naomi Watts, 2003, I guess. That was scary.
Yeah. Well, and it's actually funny because one of the first things that Matt made me watch was the original.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we watched it and it was like the middle of the day, but he closed all the curtains and tried to make it really spooky and scary for me. And I have since decided that having to read the subtitles takes me so much out of the movie that
just,
I can't get
scared for you anymore. Mm-hmm.
Because the American version scared the crap out of me. The original version, I was just like, this isn't scary. And I get scared really easily.
The Japanese version scared me too, but I think it's more like the atmosphere and then of course just the basic story of it, right? Like, the Sadako, I think her name is Sadako in the Japanese versions, like, backstory was the scariest part. And Samara's in the in the American version. But yeah. Anyway.
So, Angela, what was the first, like, what got you into foreign media?
I have a very typical origin story with that. It was college anime, basically, for a lot of people there. But it wasn't a lot. It was Cowboy Bebop and then, like, Ghibli movies, like Spirited Away and such. And for me, it was just about, like, I loved, you know, fantasy and sci-fi. And I think in, like, middle school and high school, I pretty much checked out every single movie in the library that was fantasy or sci-fi. And so getting to college and seeing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, too, like, other ones, like, here are more fantastical stories. I've, like, the well is run dry for me with, like, Hollywood. And so, you know, here's even more, and some of it's really different, like Spirited Away and some other Ghibli movies. It's a very different feel for fantasy because it's a whole different mythology than we're used to having, the very, like, you know, Western, Lord of the Rings, Celtic sort of background, and here's, like, a different one. So it was like, oh, wait, like, there's a whole world's worth of stuff out there. If there's a genre that I like, I don't have to be limited by what Hollywood's put out.
I have to admit that I tend to be very European in a lot of the stuff that I watch, although Matt watches a lot. Like, he gives me crap for not liking, what, Shaolin Soccer. They made me watch it, and I hated it. But he's also made me watch In the Mood for Love, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah, Wong Kar Wai is awesome.
Yeah, I think he's Matt's favorite. But I think my problem is I just don't like the kung fu movies. But that, and that's what most people think of when they think of, like, Asian cinema, at least.
Right.
And it's like, but that's not what it is. And,
right.
And he keeps trying to give me more to watch, and then, but he doesn't make me sit down and watch it.
Well, we'll have to tell him to make you do it.
Yes.
Just, like, strap you down.
Well, and then you guys with your K-dramas. Oh. I'm like, I gotta sit and watch something, I'm sure, because...
I have a good origin story for that, too. When I was, like, getting ready to get married, like, when I was engaged, I spent a weekend at my bridesmaid's house, like, with my other bridesmaids, and we were supposed to be, like, dress shopping and doing other stuff, but we mostly ended up spending the whole weekend binging, like, my bridesmaid's roommate was from India, and she had these, like, black market K-drama DVD. It was, like, one DVD, and it had, like, all 16 episodes,
nice.
Like, booted on it.
That's awesome.
And it had, like, English subtitles still, and we just spent the whole weekend watching that instead. It was pretty much what we did. And then, like, I got married, and I moved down here, and it's the middle of nowhere. And so, like, it took me a while to, like, find anything to do with myself. And I started watching K-dramas again, because it was, like, 16 hours. You know, it's, like, a long time. It would keep me busy and occupied, but then it would, like, there was a light at the end of the tunnel, as opposed to, like, if you want to, like, binge Lost or something, you've got 7 seasons.
Right.
Or you want to watch something that's currently airing, and, you know, you have to only get 1 episode at a time, so it's kind of, like, a good intermediary length.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it started, and it's honestly turned into comfort food at this point, because it was, like, a time in my life when I, like, was kind of adrift, and it was what I would do with myself, and so now it's, like, what I watch for comfort, sort of. Mm-hmm. So...
having a finite point is, it, like, it's helpful knowing that there's, like, okay, well, there's only 16 episodes. They're an hour long. At least it's only this long. It's not, it doesn't feel as daunting mm-hmm. as most American 22 episode seasons. It really does help. Plus, most of the time, if you hear about it, it's because it's good, and then
right.
you know it's quality the whole way, whereas you watch, like, a season of an American show, and it's like, well, maybe 10 of those episodes will be good.
Right.
And then the rest, you just have to get through to get the story that you want.
Right, like, that's the thing. You know that the story is going to be cohesive when you know that there's a finite. Like, they knew when it ends. And it also shows you the limitations of any kind of short form story, like, you know, continuous storytelling. Because mm-hmm. like, when they'll add 2 episodes, right, they'll be like, oh, we got 2 episodes, extra episodes.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's not a good thing.
Well, it's actually really interesting because, like, there's the traditional K-drama format mm-hmm. was live airing. Like, episodes would be airing while they're still recording, which we do in America too, but they're a lot farther ahead in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's literally like, that's why if you don't get, like, a preview for the next episode at the end of 1 episode, it means they're literally still filming. Like, they're really, and sometimes those storytelling, it suffers a little bit more.
Yeah.
So the pre-produced drama is gaining a lot of steam lately. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that can be better because then, because sometimes the writer has not finished the script while it's still airing. They don't have an ending. And so a lot of times, especially you have, like, a slump or, like, late hour drama that's just, like, stupid. That's because they literally, they were probably, like, having to put out an episode to air in, like, 3 days.
Yeah. So, well, you used Lost as an example, and that's actually, I think that was probably one of the turning points, because, like, that show probably should have only been 3 seasons at most, mm-hmm. and they should have always known that they were only going to do that long, because it just started to fall apart, because they kept just pushing and pushing and pushing, mm-hmm. and you can see that with, like, the way Game of Thrones now is they were able to say, okay, we're only going to have 7 episodes this season, mm-hmm. and there's going to be maybe 6 next year, right. or whenever it is, since it might be 2019. yeah, sad times. Because you look at that, and, like, I use Lost as an example, actually, of, I compare it to Life on Mars and mm-hmm. Ashes to Ashes, mm-hmm. which Life on Mars yes. is one of my favorite shows of all time. And part of it is they were able to go to the BBC and just say, okay, we can give you one more season. 8 episodes, that's it. That's the story. It's over. Sam's story is over. The story. And then they did come out with Ashes to Ashes. And there's a reason I compare that and Lost, especially. And, yeah. it, you know, that went on for 3 years. But at the same time, they were then, they had the end goal. And they knew what the story they were going to tell. And it does tend to be kind of similar to what Lost did. And it actually aired 3 days before Lost finale aired. And it did it so much better. Oh. Whereas I still feel shafted by Lost and still yeah. feel kind of bitter about that. But anyway, we got off on a tangent. Terry, it's your turn. Tell yeah. us how you got into foreign media.
Well, mine is actually a pretentious.
Oh, no. That's okay.
Virgins. When I was younger, we did not have cable and we lived in the middle of nowhere. So we got 3 channels. Uh-huh. And one of them was PBS.
Yay,
and my father would watch Masterpiece Theater and we would watch Upstairs, Downstairs. And so everybody was like, oh, Downton Abbey. I'm like, yeah, years ago, it was called Upstairs, Downstairs. So that's how pretentious I am about foreign media.
That's not pretentious. That just means you have good taste. That's okay.
I love miniseries and I love British literature. So, I mean, PBS was always the place that I went to watch miniseries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting to watch people coming to it now, BBC America, and bootlegs through fandom and file sharing and that sort of thing. But so much of that started on PBS and, mm-hmm. you know, it was considered this sort of stuffy thing that old people watched. but I mean, I loved it because there wasn't necessarily a corollary type of storytelling happening at that point in the 80s mm-hmm. on regular right. television.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a huge reader and as a writer, like, that was just the happiest thing for me in the world to watch all that stuff. So I'm still a sucker for period dramas and miniseries and aww. That sort of thing.
Because they are awesome.
My parents actually my whole life, and still, that's what they do on Sunday nights. They sit down and watch Masterpiece together.
Aww.
They, like,
this is one of the reasons.
Watch any of the other same stuff, but they sit down and watch Masterpiece together. It's really cute.
That is cute. That's why you get to support PBS.
Yes,
everyone.
We love PBS.
for me, I grew up watching telenovelas, like Mexican, Venezuelan, whatever, soap operas, right? So that's foreign drama, but it wasn't foreign to me,
yeah.
right? So so the first really, like, interaction with foreign media I had was obviously anime as a child, but when I was a child, I didn't realize, because I was watching the English dub, so I didn't realize that that was coming from somewhere else. But my friend Uma, in middle school, it was either the end of middle school or the very beginning of high school, she was trying to convince me that true love existed. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know why. I don't know why I was a cynical child.
You were very cynical.
Yeah,
already.
Clearly. I was like, that sounds fake. But she was like, no, I'm going to show you these movies. And then by the time you're done watching these movies, you are going to believe in true love. And they were all Bollywood films. So it started with Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. I remember that was the first movie. And Shah Rukh Khan. And Casual. Right? We're like the...
I've never seen a Bollywood film.
Oh, you've never seen a Bollywood film?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, that's going to have to be one of our topics.
Okay.
We'll force you to watch one.
I've seen a little bit of Bollywood.
Yeah.
I'd get in on a rec and watch it. Yeah.
It's like a musical, right? Nowadays, not every film is a musical. But at that point in time, like, every Bollywood film that I was watching was a musical. And it's just like, literally for no reason, just break out into song and dance in the middle of a conversation.
Like, why not?
Yeah. Just, like, everyone on the street is doing that. And it was, like, there was always, like, some huge epic romance going on, no matter what, right? I guess it's sort of like K-drama in that way, right? Like, it's not just, like, it's like a spy drama with epic romance and singing. It's, like, that one was about a widower, right? So it's like three best friends. He marries one of his best friends, who's a female, and then she dies, and his other best friend, who's been in love with him this whole time, right? It's been like 8 years after his wife dies, and he's finally now falling for his other best friend, who was always in love with him, but she's gonna marry someone else.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. It obviously has a happy ending. It's fine. Spoilers. It has a happy ending. But and then the final movie was They Have Thus, and that's Aishwarya Rai and also Shah Rukh Khan. He's in all of them. He's in all of them.
Yeah, he's there all the time.
Yes. Anyway, so I just remember, like, I just spent, like, the whole, I guess it was, like, a 2 weeks period. And it was the whole 2 weeks after school watching Bollywood movies and, like, crying about everything. So, yes, by the end of it, I was definitely like, yes, true love exists. You win. And now I love Bollywood films.
And she still holds that against you? Yeah. Like, she still holds that in your face?
Like, listen, I changed her life. Speaking of
American versus foreign.
Yes. Obviously, we all consume American media and pop culture. And one recent American or not so American phenomenon, if you will, is Wonder Woman. Depending on who you're talking to. If you're Fox News, it's not
American
enough.
Apparently, it's not American enough if you're Fox News, and it should have been, which I'm still trying to figure out.
Which makes no sense.
She's not American.
Yeah.
She did used to wear a spangly outfit, I guess, but that doesn't mean she's American.
Right. I was, when I was younger, I was confused by Wonder Woman because it was, like, the red, white, and blue, but, like, she's not American. Yeah. So I was like, why is she representing?
But I guess, to be honest, so I've never read a Wonder Woman comics, but I'm a terrible person. I have a lot of them in my house. My husband still gives me crap for it. Anyway, but I guess I always kind of thought she was, too.
Mm-hmm.
Until, you know, but then I found out she's not, and then I moved on.
Yeah, I mean, once you've watched, like, if you've seen the movie, then it's very clear to you that it's not meant to be American or represent, like,
unless you're Fox
a specific
News.
American value.
Although, I'm gonna bet they didn't see the movie.
Right, that's true. They probably didn't watch the movie.
Well, and I'm pretty curious to see if they had similar complaints, because that's kind of been the DCEU's thing, is, like, just the darker everything. So, like, I mean, Batman's costume's always black, but, like, Superman's costume is more muted, too. So did they whine about that when, like, Man of Steel and BVS came out? Like,
I'm sure they whined about the fact that the actor playing him was an American.
Right.
And not thinking about that. Has there ever been an American who's played Superman? Because all the other ones were
Tyler
Canadian.
Tyler Hoechlin is American, isn't he?
Is he? Okay.
Is he? Or maybe he's Canadian. I don't know his life. I don't know. He can
I don't
be Canadian.
Know. You guys keep talking. I'll look online. I thought he was Canadian.
He might be Canadian. He's very nice. So, probably Canadian. No, but Wonder Woman movie came out last weekend. Yeah?
Yes.
And it is arguably...
Oh, he is American. You're right.
The first good DCEU movie.
I agree.
I have only seen Man of Steel, which I cannot sit through again. And I am the person who will watch everything about 85 times. If it's at least 3 times. But I can't sit through
I didn't
Man
know
of
you'd
Steel.
Only seen Man of Steel.
I've tried to watch it again and I can't. Mm-hmm. I am going to eventually sit through Batman vs. Superman, but only under the everybody who's there has to recognize that we're going to be MST3K-ing it. That's the only acceptable. And it will be the director's cut, because I've heard that's the only one.
That's the only, you have to watch the extended cut. You can't watch the regular.
I want to see it. I'm not paying for it. I'm waiting until the library has it. And it's not checked out, because I'm not spending money on this.
I have a friend who owns it, so we just need to figure out when he can bring it over and we can sit and watch it. And then I will never see Suicide Squad.
No, you don't need to. But everyone here saw Wonder Woman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, I saw it twice.
I saw it yesterday again.
Did you guys see it twice? Or are you...
No,
are you...
I have a kid.
I'm just kidding.
She's only three.
I saw
I
it.
I'm dragging everybody at the beach next week to see it, though.
Oh, nice.
I'm going on a big beach trip with the family, and I'm like, make everyone go see Wonder Woman.
Terry, what were you saying?
I saw it once and probably won't see it again. I didn't like it that much.
Oh, interesting.
All okay. right. Okay. That's now we can thing. Have. Now we can have a debate.
Well, then no. I don't feel quite so bad that I am, because I'm the one who keeps getting shit for I say that I don't think it was great. I think it was good, but I don't think it was great. So what were your problems with it, Terry?
It was good. The directing was good for most of it. The acting was great. I didn't have a problem with the cast. I had a little problem with the cast. sting, but that goes back to the packaging and the three-act failure of DC movies. I had a lot of problems at a story level because in the end, I felt it was Captain America starring girl Superman.
Yes.
Which,
it's true.
But the third...
The third act.
My problem with all DC, the current DC spate of movies is the three acts do not link up in any sort of logical plot or emotional arc way. And I will make a disclaimer that I'm a professional writer and that I'm a novelist and I teach writing to people. And literally I would use this movie as a, this is how you do not structure a story. So I feel like a terrible feminist and bad comic book geek, but the story problems just overwhelmed me. And it just made me crazy.
Now, I would actually agree with you. I have like two Angelas, like two brains, and I have like my basic level brain and then the like more analytical, like academic brain. And usually it's academic brain who appreciates it and basic one doesn't, but I'm a flip on that. Like my basic entertainment, I was like really into it, but when I turned my brain on, I'm like, no, wait, hold on. There's a lot that's going on.
Yeah, I would say that I don't have an analytical brain in this case. No, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the movie on a basic level. Like you said, I thought it was great entertainment, and that has not been something I've said about previous DCE movies. Like, I would not make that argument for them. I did not enjoy them on a basic level. And this one I very much enjoyed, and I connected to it emotionally. Like you mentioned, the acting was good. I love the chemistry between Gal and Chris Pine. And I really loved the supporting cast and wish there could have been more of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of that, I enjoyed. The only big problem I had was that I thought Ares actually not being real in this instance, like he's real for later movies or whatever, but her killing that one dude and finding out he's not Ares, yeah, and she has to stop the war herself or help him stop the war, that would have been a better third act, and it would have followed through all the way with like love or humanity. It's not about what people deserve, right? It's about what you believe. I felt that the whole way through, but then once Ares does show up and it's like, oh, I'm gonna tempt you to hurt people, and she's like, I will not be tempted. And I was like, obviously. Like, they needed to have a big fight. But I would have preferred it to be, oh, Ares is not really behind this. It is the people. I have to make the choice now to save them anyway.
Yeah.
It would have cut the movie by 15 minutes and kept the entire...
And it would have been a good way to not have her realize completely her powers. Because now you look at it and you're like, why does she ever need help from anybody else?
Right. Now it's because like, she's a god. She's a god.
How am I supposed to watch Batman vs. Superman now and believe that she needed any help fighting Doomsday?
But that's the thing, too. Something has to have happened to her in between where she loses some faith in humanity. Because she seemed kind of world-weary in Batman vs. Superman, which is not the case for her in Wonder Woman. Yeah. And I know that's because Zack Snyder is behind Batman vs. Superman, and Patty Jenkins is behind Wonder Woman, but now I'm still like, they don't connect.
Yeah.
I think that it's an emotional arc problem, and I promise not to sound like I'm doing one of my classes, but...
go for it.
Her emotional arc makes literally no sense. So she grows up on this island of all women. She has never seen a man before. A man shows up and kills her aunt and mentor, or man, not Chris Pine, but men.
Right.
Then seems awfully perky about going off the island, and then it evolves into a pretty woman rom-com for a bit, and there's really no other women. At no point does this woman who has only fought with women and trained with women look around at all the men and go, I'm gonna need a girl, like, I'm gonna need some girl backup here, because I don't know what men are. You seem terrible, and you killed my aunt, and also I have no, like, who are you people? Find me a girl. No women except for like the chubby secretary who
Etta Candy. I wish there had been more Etta Candy and more Diana and Etta.
Yes.
And just more women, like, that sort of made me insane. Like, yes, I love the opening, all the women on the island, but as a character, it makes no sense for her to then leave the island and just be like, yay, boys.
That's especially because you can't even say she's boy crazy, because she like admits, she's like, we don't need men. We right. have, like, we can pleasure ourselves or each other. Like, you don't need men.
I desperately wanted her to go, like, this is a great group, but I'm going to need some warriors. So if you could take me to the lady training center, that would be great. We need to pick up.
Yeah. They had a couple of lines where she was like, what do women fight in or whatever? But, like, there wasn't
the sense of concern. They never even tell her that right. they don't.
Exactly. There they wasn't the sense even, of concern that
like,
that doesn't happen.
He talks yeah. around it a little mm-hmm. bit, but he never explains to her that women... Right. Like, they say things that she doesn't understand. Like, Etta yeah. Candy says
right,
something
which is like,
about,
oh, yeah, about we use our, when we use get our the morals, vote. And yeah. then sometimes our fisticuffs.
Yeah, and, yeah. like, when we get the vote and stuff. But this means nothing right. to her. Mm-hmm. Because right. she's like, what's a vote? I don't know. mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
That's a really good point.
I saw her as being very one-track-minded. Like, whatever, just get me. Because she was so, like, Aries.
Right, she just wants to stop
the war. Aries and it's mm-hmm. over. And so she was just very, like, whatever, get me to the front, I'll do it. Like,
yeah,
whatever, get me to the front,
I think
I'll
that's sort of the reason that she isn't more concerned about men and how terrible they are. Because she thinks yeah. that it's not their fault. Like, she's like, well, these rando Germans just came here and killed my aunt because of Aries. Aries yeah. made them do it. So then, which is why I would have liked Aries to not actually show up in the movie. So yeah. then she yeah. has to reconcile with the fact that it was not Aries. It was actually these people. Because I thought it was, like, a really, like, big turn for her when she's like, it's not just them, it's you too, like, to Steve, right? She's like, you're also yeah. infected, right? Everyone's yeah. infected.
She said that to Steve, yeah.
Yeah, but then it didn't really... He took it very well, which was like, okay, go there, go find Aries there. And then it was...
He's like, I'm gonna do my thing.
Yeah, it was
you
redirected.
Do you.
Yeah.
Which meant, I guess, it kind of compartmentalizes her, but, like, yeah. whatever. He's like, yeah, whatever, you do your thing, I'm gonna do my thing. And that's, I don't know. I have a hard time with the mm-hmm. love will keep us... It
love!
Just, love is,
we'll
yay, and it's happy.
We'll keep us together.
Yeah, I know.
What? True love exists, all right? And also love for
but
humanity.
They
Valerie,
for like, they
God.
They knew each other for maybe 72 hours.
You know
hours.
What? It was a very intense 72 hours. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't need that, but that line that he says that I wish we'd had more time.
Yeah.
The context of the story was poignant enough.
Yeah.
You didn't need the I love you later, because that's, like, enough of a knife twist.
Although
I
Matt
think.
Would want
it
me to point out
true.
That what he was saying last night, where he was like, yes, but if you're him and you meet this woman, yes, you are in love with her, because she
right.
is amazing.
Of course
you
would,
like,
love her, yeah.
Yes, but for her, the other way, it's like, yeah, whatever. Unless it's just because he's the first man she knows.
Yeah.
It, like...
But...
Because it's like, you can't even say it's, well, he treats her... on a different level. It's like, yeah, but she doesn't know anything different than
right.
that. So it's like, she doesn't even realize that he is actually special in that way.
Right. He acts, for the most part, he acts the way she thinks a man should be acting.
Yes.
So it's like,
yeah.
he is, just anybody that's what she's like, you're average, right? This is like what average men should be like. And he's like, no, I'm not actually. I'm average. But
still, if they'd kept the I love you out,
yes.
like,
it would have been,
she still
yeah.
could have used the power of love lines later, and it would have opened it up to, like, all love.
Right, of course.
Contexting it so romantically.
Yeah, because yeah. I wish
which
that...
would have worked a little bit better.
Yeah, okay, so the way it breaks down is that she's... there, and I didn't remember this from the first time I watched it, so I noticed it last night, and I was like, okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. That, you know, when she's stuck to the ground after, like, the metals around her or whatever mm-hmm. it is that, like, is holding her down and she's kind of breaking... She doesn't realize her power yet. She does see the other three guys, Charlie, Sammy, and,
right.
and I can't remember the...
Chief.
Chief.
Chief. Okay. They just call him Chief.
She does see them, you know, they think they're about to die.
Right, and they're, like,
so
holding
do,
each other
they do,
and
like, kind of
or,
hold each
yeah.
other, and they're,
yeah.
like... And so I liked yeah. that. And then she sees, and it goes into Steve in the plane. Mm-hmm. And I think if it had been that, and even, like, that was all one montage... of her realizing, and then it went straight into her realizing there is still something worth fighting for.
Right.
It would have been better, but it instead goes, you know, he dies, and she questions herself again, and she's still questioning, and Aries is almost winning.
Right.
And then she remembers what Steve said.
Yeah, that and part was unnecessary.
I just, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a way you could have edited, and even maybe kept all of that. And it would have flowed a little bit better, mm-hmm. as opposed to me feeling yeah. like, I don't know, I don't believe this love story that you met 3 days ago. That it's your one true love that you're going to remember forever.
I didn't have a problem with the love, with the romantic love part
but
of it.
But that's another story.
Yeah, right. I didn't have a problem with that part of it. But I do think they should have just gone, like you said, directly from Steve being up in the air, fighting for everyone, and the three of them holding each other, and then she, like, does her thing. Because the part where it's Ares is trying to convince her that she should turn on humanity, like, there is no tension there.
Yeah.
Because I know she's not going to do that. That is insane.
Yeah.
And she knows she's not going to do that. It's like, her pause is literally just like, this is a dramatic pause before I tell you I would never do that. So, I did not need that in my life. And also, because it's hard, for the first movie, I don't need to show her sparing Dr. Poison.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's like, later on down the line, you're like, it's kind of problematic when our heroes can't even kill people that just need to die.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I don't need that here, because for me, I'm like, just kill her. Just kill her. It's fine.
She's a warrior. She would have done it. She doesn't even have, like, all Batman's hang-ups.
Right. But, like, in this case, it's like, it's not really a war moment, right? It's not like she's fighting her in battle. This, like, this woman can't actually fight you. So, she's like, doesn't do it, and instead she attacks Ares. I feel like we could have just skipped to the attacking Ares. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But that being said, I very much enjoyed the movie. And it's definitely the best DC movie so far.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like it a lot better the second time. I didn't have as many hang-ups about it. But, I still like, people are like, I saw a story where they're like, is this the comic book movie that's finally going to get an Oscar? And I'm like, no. And if it does, I'm going to be really upset because it's not good enough.
Let's be honest. Suicide Squad has won an Oscar.
Well, so did The Dark Knight.
Yeah. So, like, technically, comic movies have won Oscars.
I think they meant for Best Picture, and it's like, no, it doesn't even deserve to be nominated unless the rest of the year is just shit movies. Because it's entertaining.
It's entertaining, but I feel like it's so curious to me that all the current DC films do not have a proper, they don't know how to do a three-act movie, and they all, 99% of their emotional moments, I think, are kind of cheap. I don't understand it. Yeah. I watch all the comic book movies and have since. My first comic book movie was the Adam West Batman movie when I was a little kid. So I've literally seen all of them. Rest in peace, Adam West. Obsessed with him when I was 3 years old. True story. But I just don't understand it. And what I find interesting is that the Marvel Universe movies very much follow, even before they were purchased by the Disney Pixar story guidelines. And I wish DC would, I don't know, steal some or make up their own so they would understand the three-act structure of an emotional arc. And that's just, I'm just, as a writer, take away your analytical and the basic mind. If my base happiness over comic movies, once that's done, my analytical brain just goes, there has to be somebody who has seen a Pixar movie who watches the movies before they're released and goes, hey, you guys, why do the emotional moments of toys work better than what you're showing me here?
Well, I think it's because the movies are all under the same umbrella, like the same person has been executive producing / overseeing them. And they should have changed that after Man of Steel didn't work.
Yeah.
And instead, they have given that person
even more control.
Yeah, until even more control recently. And many more chances. So it's their vision that we're seeing.
They were so fixated on not being Marvel that the problem was, it's like, okay, but what Marvel are doing is working. Why would you want to do something different just to do something different?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you test it once and it's not working.
And then you can test do something different with someone else's vision, right? Yeah. Someone else could have a vision that's different.
Yeah.
That is not this one. But the reason, I mean, I feel like Wonder Woman is the one that breaks away the most, but that's also because, as far as I know, Geoff Johns and Patty Jenkins did do some amount of rewrites with the script.
Yeah.
That is belonging to other people.
You can say the name. Yeah.
But there's only so much you can do without doing a page one rewrite.
Yeah. Which is why, like, the problem that we have now of, okay, Joss is taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but is it too little too late? How much is he actually getting to change? I mean, they're apparently doing reshoots through through August, which, that's not reshoots. That's almost doing a new movie. That's at least 6 to 8 weeks of reshoots.
I feel like I heard something about how, like, they hadn't started the reshoots yet, or that...
No, they've already been reshooting for a while. They started before Snyder announced that he was leaving. And the word is they're going through August. And and part of that is going to be that they're working around
schedules. The schedule. That's why the scheduling.
And so there is going to be some mm-hmm. problem of trying to work around everybody's schedules when they're all making other movies. But it is concerning. Somebody I know, a friend of mine, did say that one of the really good things about this movie is that it shows, and this is something that both Marvel and DC have failed to do before, is it tells a really good story without having to spend half the movie setting up another movie.
Right.
But the problem is, mm-hmm. knowing what's come before it, and then seeing this movie, which I then enjoyed, there's zero reason for me to watch another DC movie. And I'm, you know, yes, I love Marvel, but I want to love DC. Like, right. I want to watch both of them, and I want to be, like, saying all of their movies are amazing. And there's literally nothing out of this that makes... It's so complete, uh-huh. whether or not you like it. It's so complete, there's nothing that makes me want to see more.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's sort of like, if I saw Wonder Woman and I really liked it, and then I heard, like, I know Aquaman's coming, right? And Aquaman's another person that I want to see a movie for. Mm. And I like Jason Momoa. I like James Wan, right? I like Amber Heard. So I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to watch the movie, you know? Like, mm-hmm. on its own merits. It doesn't have to connect until you get to the...
Yeah, but when you've got the next movie being Justice League, which
right.
is a team-up
right.
movie...
Right, that's the problem. Like, I think the problem
and
is...
And she's in it?
Yeah.
I don't want to see
the
it.
Problem is that the way that they set up their universe... relies too much on, like, they didn't do individual movies first,
yeah,
and then a team up, which would, like, we didn't need Batman versus Superman before we got Batman,
yeah, because there was no emotional,
right, exactly, like, I have no reason to care about
them fighting,
right, like, I'm like, okay, Bruce is mad because this happened and now it's fight time until you find out that your mom's name is Martha, so
yeah,
spoilers.
Why did you say that?
I'm just mad. I mean, hopefully this is one of the things that get changed. Or probably not, because it's been in the trailers. But, like, because they show, why is Bruce the one recruiting Aquaman and not Diana?
Right.
Like, who would Aquaman respect a lot more? Diana. Like, and who would relate to him on a lot of different levels?
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and they do it for the sake of having the, like... macho off scene,
right,
like that
right.
seems like literally that's the only reason why they're doing it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, it just drives me insane too that like Bruce is calling the shots here, like mm-hmm.
When Diana's been around doing this much longer,
yeah.
And I think that really echoes the problem of the DC Universe movies. Avengers have a lot of action in them, there's humor, there's whatever, but every fight and every encounter means something. Mm-hmm. Like the last Captain America movie was so, the fight scenes were so emotional. And I went, that's when action sequences work, when there's so much emotion built into it. We know that they're not going to kill each other. We know, you know, we generally know what's going to happen, but what is the emotional component to the fight scene? Suicide Squad was just fight scenes. There was absolutely no emotional component to it. The Batman versus Superman, there was really no emotional, they tried really hard, but there was no emotional component to it. And I fear that Justice League is just set pieces, because it seems like the DC Universe's movies are more caught up on the storyboard than the script.
Yeah.
Like, well, the way everything looks and the way the action scenes are sort of put together, and not, how did we get here? And mm-hmm. why are we fighting? Why have we split up into two groups and are fighting against each other? Like, that only works if there's a reason, emotional reason for it.
Well, and that's why it's so interesting that Batman vs. Superman and Civil War came out so close to each other, because they are, in effect, a very similar premise.
Mm-hmm.
Just the making them fight. But at the same time, okay, but we've had all, you know, 8 years mm-hmm. of the Avengers coming together and getting to know these characters. So it matters. And it hurts when you see them fighting each other. And then Batman or Superman is like, they've literally never met before.
Right. And you also have a much simpler premise, really, with Civil War. It was really just like, here is a situation. We disagree on the situation. Here is a complication of the situation. Now we have to fight. But where is your attitude? There is a lot more setup and nuance, if you will, that got lost in Batman vs. Superman because of terrible, terrible editing. So, in the end, like, you can't even form a cohesive story.
Because it needed too much
setup. Right, because there was so much information that you needed and were missing in the final product.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like DC wants to ignore that Marvel exists entirely. Like, that's their way of trying to be different. And, I mean, be different, but don't ignore, like, what people are used to and what people seem to want, either.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for Aquaman. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm
ready to skip on over to that. But
I don't know. Amber Heard could
have. I'd watch their Flash.
I'm gonna
as well.
Fight you. I'm gonna fight you. I'm concerned about their Flash. I was excited for their Flash when Rick Famuyiwa was gonna be directing it, and I also love Kiersey Clemons and I like Ezra Miller. But now it's like page one rewrite again, and we don't have a director.
Didn't know that.
And yeah, well, they got rid of him.
That is deserting.
Also, his little goodbye letter was like, I was hoping to tell a multicultural story that spoke to a lot of today's issues and that did not line up with the vision of DC. And I was like, oh, I see what you are saying.
I did not know that. Now it's down again.
Exactly. I was like, well, I'm not looking forward to what they choose instead of you.
Well,
but
the one thing I heard, because, you know, like, mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, there was the rumor that, what, it was Raimi, Zemeckis, mm-hmm. and Matthew Vaughn were all considered for
right.
the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Raimi dropped out immediately.
Yeah.
But, as far as we know, if they were considering Zemeckis and Vaughn, they still are. And one of the things that I heard with that is that, supposedly, they're not forcing it as much, so we don't really know when it's going to come out, because
right.
because now they've waited so long.
Yeah, they can't meet that deadline.
Yeah, Ezra mm-hmm. Miller has to go film the next Fantastic
right.
Beasts movie soon. Mm-hmm. So I think both Vaughn and Zemeckis are busy with other things, mm-hmm. but they're saying they're willing to wait for them, because they're going to have to wait anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing where I'm like, okay, so maybe they're taking a step back, and it sounds like they are to an extent anyway, especially because they had no idea that Wonder Woman was going to be so well received.
Right.
And I guarantee you,
mm-hmm.
at least probably 50% of the reshoots are more Wonder Woman. I bet
Which,
you anything.
Hey, I'm all for that.
they were like, oh shit, and maybe we need to not have Batman in the black suit so much, and he needs to be, or I mean not Batman, I'm Superman.
Right.
And he needs to actually be in his red and blue spangly, no, it's not spangly.
Spangly.
Everything's spangly. No, it's not spangly.
Spandex.
Yeah, there's spandex. So they have Justice League this year, and then we know for sure Aquaman next year, because they are
yes,
filming it.
Yes, that
and
one's
that's
happening. Yeah,
all we know,
right? That's all we know.
Now everything else is
there
like,
was going to be a Cyborg movie, and then I think they're saying like it's going to be Titans instead, and I was like,
I don't even know what the Titans are.
That's
Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
Teen
a
Titans.
Team
okay.
That
yes.
Cyborg
yes.
was part of.
Oh. Well, that might be more interesting, because everybody seems to love Teen Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's
yeah,
actually we'll thematically a good transition to Black Panther.
Something we know is coming.
Speaking of.
I just, kind of going back to the foreign media thing and like a different perspective and whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's Black Panther. Like, just show me a completely different take on all of this. Like, I'm mm-hmm. so done with, you know, white dude broods. For whatever reason. And the way they, like, forced that on. I remember seeing, seeing the Man of Steel trailer in theaters after, I think, the last Dark Knight film, and being like, isn't this when, like, Gandalf falls from the Bridge of Khazad-dûm? When they have, like, literally, one of the early Man of Steel trailers used songs from the Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
And, yeah.
No, they literally did. And, like, forcing Superman to brood. Like, I'm so over that. I'm so over for more women. Completely different take on everything. I was so nervous when the teaser started and it was, like, two white dudes.
Oh my god, yeah.
Talking about Wakanda. I was like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, I had that
and
same
then,
feeling.
Yeah, when it pulls yeah. back and shows them watching through the mirror and then, like, yeah, just the juxtaposition of mm-hmm. their view of what they think
exactly.
about it is and, like,
mm-hmm.
everybody else wandering around being, like, obviously not, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm ready for it. Luke Cage was my favorite of the Netflix shows so far for the same reason as well. Like, just, I think it's just starved for different perspectives. Like, when you hear the same story over and over again, mm-hmm. it gets boring.
Yeah.
So, tell me, even if it's, in essence, the same structure, hero's journey, whatever, from a different point of view, that's mm-hmm. what can make it really fresh, and
yeah.
that's what we need.
Yeah, exactly,
point.
New voices. And that it's diverse voices behind the scenes, too, you know?
Yes, exactly.
People telling that story from a different perspective, not just acting it from a different perspective. But yeah, I like, when you mentioned the white dudes talking in a room, I was like, what is going on? And then the way they were describing Wakanda, and I was like, oh, it's like a third
yeah.
world country. And I was like, no, I thought it was in South America. And I was like, oh, Jesus. But that's the whole point, right? The whole point is just, like, how out of touch they are. And how little they know about what's really happening. And the same thing is true of the audience, because we haven't been exposed to anything like that yet, right? Marvel has been just white bread dudes named Chris. So I'm ready.
Aww.
So yeah, and I'm I thought that Chadwick Boseman's performance in Civil War was one of the best things about it.
Yes.
Like, him and Tom Holland's Spider-Man were like...
Yeah. And I'm... Mm-hmm. I say this as a huge Cap and Bucky fan. Yes, mm-hmm. it was... They steal the show.
Yeah. So it's so like... So really. I'm really very much looking forward to both of the films. And I just love... Because not just that it's a black male lead, like the hero is a black man, but like so many black women on screen... Is not something that you see.
Kicking ass.
Yeah, kicking ass.
Well, we haven't had that many women in Marvel, period, getting to do it. Now in one, we're like...
Right, there's going to be more women in Black Panther than in all of freaking MCU so far. And they're black women, and that's great.
It's Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan, and then women, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, I'm so ready for that.
And it's also giving amazing actresses like Lupita Nyong'o a chance. Yeah, because like... Since she won her Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, and then it's like, oh, she's going to do a bunch of animated stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, there aren't as many opportunities for an actress of her talent. And I'm very excited to see where it's going. The trailer was just mind-blowing, right? Like, visually it's speaking. Beautiful. Yeah. So much movement and colors.
It gave...
The shades of Asgard.
It gave...
Reminded me of Asgard, just in terms of a very different society.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
It gave us a lot more than I thought, because teasers are usually so, like, sparse, and you barely get anything. Right. And even though there's not a lot of talking, and Andy Serkis does most of it.
Right.
It's still, I don't know, I think it really gave... I've said, so, you know, I did my list of the MCU and where I rank them all, and I've said for a very long time that, you know, The Winter Soldier is my favorite, and it's so good, I have a hard time imagining anything beating it, but I think... Black Panther is the one that might have a shot at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tend to be the person who likes... So, like, a good way to describe it is, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't really like the DC superhero shows. And it's mostly because I don't feel like there's a lot of depth. And I'm the kind of person who, like, I like my media to say something back to... Like, to really be telling me something. Mm-hmm. To be reflecting a mirror onto our world and be like, okay, so this is what's really going on. But we're going to tell it from, you know, a different perspective. But this is what we're really saying. And so that's why I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it does that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, they've described Black Panther as a geopolitical thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so unique. You know, my second is Guardians, because that's so different and not at all what we expect. And I kind of feel like Black Panther's might be a bit of both. Like,
yeah.
Winter Soldier and Guardians. And I'm like, this could be amazing.
It's sort of the way that, like, people say, like, oh, well, Doctor Strange is just Iron Man, right? Iron Man with magic. So, like, you can't say Black Panther is just whoever with whatever, you know? Because it is, in fact, it's, like, totally new to the superhero genre, the action adventure genre, like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
We haven't seen something like this yet.
It's so pretty.
Mm-hmm. And it's so pretty. That's the...
And that music is amazing. I think it was Matt who said something about, like, it, especially the end, it kind of feels like music you would have heard in the 70s and, like, blaxploitation films and stuff like that. Like, it really feels kind of, I don't know, it just, I can't do much but gush, because it just looks amazing.
Yeah,
but then I've never read a Black Panther comic, so I kind of feel like I need to.
Well, you can start with the Ta-Nehisi Coates ones if you're, like you said, you like your media to say something back to you, right?
Yes.
So his run is very much, like, less on the action and spectacle and more on just, like, what does it take for T'Challa to be a good ruler to his people, right? And how can he reconcile the time that he has spent as Black Panther, like, as Black Panther for the rest of the world with what his people need from him?
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's a very political series, right? Like, it is really about the politics of Wakanda. But yeah, and I also really loved, they have, like, a really short spinoff series called The World of Wakanda, and that was about the Dora Milaje, are the women, right? The women that fight for Black Panther. So yeah, that was really a really amazing series. It only had like 6 issues, I think, sadly. But they're all
good issues.
Is that
the one that got canceled?
Yeah, it got canceled. Yeah, because it's Marvel is having a big problem comic book wise, right? That they're not having in the films, and that's just like like they're putting too much into the market. They're throwing everything at you, right? Mm. And no one can buy all these comics.
No.
Like, no one's like, oh, I want to buy 4 Black Panther books every month. I want to buy 5 Guardians. You know, like, You don't want that.
So they're basically doing exactly what we were complaining about American TV doing earlier, where it's like, okay, but you don't need 22 issues of everything.
Right, exactly. Focus on the one that's good.
Find a story that you want to tell and tell that story. And don't make it about everybody becoming Nazis.
Yes. Also Secret Empire. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. It's hard because then, of course, Marvel loves to do everything is a tie-in to the main big event, right?
Yeah.
So then every issue of the books that I'm reading has to somehow relate back to that event that I want to ignore. So
Matt used to buy single issues a lot, and he stopped buying them after the Spider-Man reset several years ago. He had been collecting Spider-Man comics basically since he was a kid. He had, like, underneath my guest room bed is boxes and boxes of comic books, and half of them are Spider-Man that he brought back from the UK. And he just, he completely just stopped when they did that because that really pissed him off.
Yeah, I quit buying comics and reading comics when DC did the Flashpoint and then it was New 52 time, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, and just like with Spider-Man, they like X'd all the main couples.
Yeah.
So I'm like, excuse you, I'm not reading this anymore.
Terry and I have had that conversation before of like, that's a cop-out to say, oh, we don't know how to tell, like, we can't be
happy in a stable relationship and also be interesting.
It's not an interesting story to tell happy couples. Like, and it's excuse like, yourself. No, if you can't tell a story about a happy couple, you need to question your ability.
You're
as
not
a writer.
Very good writer. Yeah. And so then it's like slowly, like, you know, with Rebirth now I'm reading everything again. But like with the others, it was like, oh, okay. You know, Selena's back in this issue, so I'm going to read that. Oh, Iris is here. Okay, I'm going to read that. Oh, Lois is here. All right. Otherwise, I don't touch it.
We buy trades when people then tell us, okay, this was a good story.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a huge book or a huge bookcase full of trades that I've never read. Someday. I keep saying that. But we should have that conversation with when Andrew is around because he is a comic book aficionado.
We do know men.
Yeah.
And eventually, they may speak.
We have men on the team.
do we want to discuss our final thoughts on what's upcoming?
What are we looking forward to this summer? Mostly, I am just kind of trying to get through San Diego Comic-Con and figure out what's going on there, because it's 6 weeks away? Is it 6 weeks? Yeah.
I think so. Six? Oh my gosh,
Oh god.
It's
I'm scared.
No, it's going to be fine.
It's like for us, Comic-Con season is tax season for IRS agents.
Yes, basically. I'm not going to sleep.
Work all day, 12 hours a day.
I was just having an argument with somebody about like how tired if they're going to be as tired as I am. And I'm like, okay, literally 13 press rooms last year on Saturday. I had to cancel a couple. They don't really seem to get that. But I'm looking forward to some really big stuff there. I'm trying to decide if I'm looking forward to the Inhumans presentations or not.
I'm looking forward to them, but is it because I'm going to enjoy what I see, or I'm going to enjoy making fun of what I see?
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Because, man, that picture. I still can't believe they made a trailer for Upfronts and haven't released it.
Yeah, heard the trailer's looks much better than the picture, though.
Because
that's what I heard.
After the reaction to that picture, they needed to do damage control, and they're not doing it. And I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I went from being so excited to being like, I don't know. This could
I
be
stopped
Marvel
being excited after hearing that it was his name, Scott Buck? The Iron Fist guy.
Yeah.
That Iron Fist showrunner is the showrunner of Inhumans. And so I'm like...
And the fact that they looked at it and were like, wow, we like Iron Fist so much, we're going to give it another show to this guy.
Is that what happened?
That's what they said.
Because that can't be right.
That's
like,
what Jeff Loeb said, and it's like, but why?
Iron Fist was terrible.
You should have been like, okay, so we're going to let you not do another show for us, and we're going to go to somebody else.
Right, like, exactly. Like, that's just not, no bueno. I don't understand. I don't understand how that happened. Iron Fist was, did y'all watch Iron Fist?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't have time.
I don't have that.
Well, y'all saved yourselves.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace.
it was terrible. It wasn't just bad. It
right.
was, like, because the fight scenes weren't even
that's
appealing.
That's the worst part.
Usually you can at least be like, well, the fight scenes were fun to watch, but it was like, no, they didn't even... Those were so badly edited, and you can't fight. They didn't even have training.
I'm not even, like...
You can tell when it's the stunt person.
I'm not even like, oh, well, they should have cast an Asian man for Iron Fist, even though I do think they should have, but they didn't, so that's fine. But if you're going to cast a white man, cast a white man who can fight. That's the character. Or give
him training before you
exactly.
Do it.
Or train him. Or train him. He said that, like, for some things, he only had 15 minutes to learn the choreography.
Oh, my God.
I have to be thankful to Iron Fist. It's because of a friend of mine complaining on Facebook about it that he was talking about Into the Badlands, and I watched that.
Oh, Into the Badlands!
Yeah, it's so you want a good choreography.
Yeah,
like,
that one has a good choreography.
So good.
Yeah.
I don't have enough time for stuff that isn't good these days. I don't give things a shot.
And this is why I'm giving up the DC shows.
Yeah, are you... No, I'm the same. I'm done on them too.
Aww.
Sorry.
This is just so sad.
DC. I wanted to love you.
I wanted to.
I still enjoy 3/4 of them. So, I'm fine. I don't enjoy Arrow.
You tempted me to watch Legends. You have.
Legends is so much better in season 2.
The reviews.
Like, that's Legends got so much better in season 2. It's insane. I mean, I was so bored in season 1. I was like, ugh, but but I was like, well, I'm going to review season 2, so I'm going to watch it. And then season 2 was a delight. Have you caught up on Into the Badlands?
No, we're only like 6 episodes into season 2.
Okay. Well, I'm very upset with their final episode. But up to that, it's very good. Okay.
So you can discuss that when...
Yeah, when you see it, we can talk about it.
Hopefully they'll fix it. They have mostly 2 seasons of Goodwill. Like,
yeah, right.
Undo it, and we'll forgive you.
We'll see come season 3.
But other things this summer?
Oh, well, Teresa, you mentioned, or Terry, you mentioned Midnight Texas.
Yes, I had New York Comic Con last year. I had no interest in it, and then I passed a poster of it and saw that the lead was the guy from the Borgias.
Which I'm watching again, by the way.
which I loved, the Borgias, and I saw him, and I said, all right, I'll go to the... They were screening their first episode and doing a panel, and I saw the episode, the pilot, and I really actually enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's funny. A very diverse cast, actually. It was entertaining. There was enough of a mystery to make me go, all right, I want to see how this plays out. The special effects were fantastic. I will say that for a smaller show, I honestly thought the special effects were great. And full disclosure, for my day job, I have a lot of contact with Charlaine Harris, and I was actually just on a panel with her at an event, and she is delightful. She is literally the most delightful little grandma you've ever seen in your entire life. She is, like, everybody was watching her with, like, stars in their eyes. So, yeah, I think it looks intriguing. It's sort of a paranormal mystery that's got some humor to it. And I think, you know, that seems like really good summer viewing, to be honest.
Yeah. What channel is it on?
It's an NBC show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it should be on their site and their app.
Right.
It's having to pay for it.
I have seen the first 3 episodes, and I will say it's ludicrous, but at least it knows it is. So that's important. Yes. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. No. And so if you're just like, it's just kind of popcorn ridiculousness.
Right.
And there's a talking cat, which I know somebody who that's basically what they're there for. So, although I think it was only in the 1 episode, right?
I was really skeptical about it because I wasn't a big True Blood fan of the HBO show, I mean. And so then I was like, oh, it's also based on, you know, like True Blood. But it's nothing. It's really not like that at all. It's so much like lighter and like sweeter, but also kooky and fun.
It's totally
kooky. So I definitely enjoyed the first 2 episodes.
I know a lot of people have been comparing it to Grimm, which I have to admit I didn't watch.
Oh, I haven't seen Grimm, so I wouldn't be able to.
Maybe if you're a fan of that, give it a shot kind of thing.
Or if you're a fan of the dude from Borgias.
Because he is pretty good.
Yeah. Or if you saw the wife of Luke Cage and you were like, man, I wish I could see her do more. She does more in Midnight Texas.
She's got a big
role.
She's
very, she's, I really loved her in Midnight Texas.
Or you want to see really, really bad Angel Wings, because that's pretty bad. That was, I'm sorry, I thought the special effects on that was laughable. But maybe they'll fix it, and it won't be quite so bad by the time it airs. I don't know.
Or maybe that's part of the charm.
Yeah.
Look at those Angel Wings.
I think the silliness of it is just everybody seems to be amused and entertained and enjoying themselves. And that's, like I said, I think it's a good summer show to just sort of
chill
out. And watch.
It's camp. It's very camp. It's fun. It's just, you know, don't expect a lot of depth, and I think you're probably fine.
Also a talking cat, which I'm not even going to lie. I'm like, all right, now I'm done. You completely won me over. I was like, I'm enjoying this. And then the cat talked, and I was like, all right, done. Done. Right. No problem.
Easily amused. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's it. So until next time.
Yeah, we will see you again. Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on our first podcast. We hope you've enjoyed Pop a la Carte. We'll be back next week with another recording. In the meantime, please be sure to check out withanaccent.com for news, interviews, etc. in the world of genre and foreign entertainment. You can follow us on social media at With an Accent on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Twitter, and Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Pop a la Carte on Facebook. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.